chapter number 12, Pastor's given me the wonderful privilege to be able to come and speak tonight, and I thank him for that. And I know, as having been a senior pastor myself, sharing the pulpit is something that doesn't come easy. And so whenever the senior pastor shares the sacred desk with another individual, I know I am very grateful, and I thank God for that. Pastor, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak tonight. Acts chapter number 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and I hope to be an encouragement and a blessing to you this evening. Look at verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 12. The Bible says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." The title of the message this evening, "Is Your Faith Big Enough?" I don't know about you, but ever since I've been saved, I've heard people speak of maybe we need to increase our faith, or maybe there's a need in someone's life. And I think the charismatic crowd, the charismatic sect, S-E-C-T, of Christianity has kind of stolen the Holy Spirit and the work that the Holy Spirit can do in and through our lives. And at times they'll say things to the effect of, you need to have more faith in order to receive a blessing or be healed or whatever the case may be. And we kind of embrace that a little bit in Baptist circles and in the fundamental circles. We embrace the fact that, man, we have to increase our faith, and our faith has to be bigger, and our faith has to be stronger. And we can increase our faith, but I think we see in Acts chapter number 12 that if we have faith, then we have enough faith. We'll see that in Acts chapter number 12. Is your faith big enough? I believe Acts chapter number 12, the first 17 verses, teaches us that as long as we have faith in the right thing, obviously that would be God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have enough faith. And so one last word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Father, bless the preaching and teaching of your word tonight. Lord, help me, dear God, to be your instrument, your vessel, to be an encouragement to your people here this evening. May I represent your word exactly as you intended it, as you gave it to us, Lord. You inspired it and you preserved it. And Father, we pray that you would help us to learn this truth tonight, Lord, and stick it to our hearts and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. King Herod Agrippa I was what is referred to as an Idumean. That means that he was a descendant of Esau. Esau, of course, and Jacob were the twin sons of were the twin sons of Isaac. I'll get it right. The descendants of Esau were called the Edomites. The Edomites. Eventually, they would be changed. That name would be changed to Idumeans. Obviously, we know the descendants of Jacob are the Jews, the nation of Israel. And so they would be later changed from Edomites to Idumeans. Now, Herod was sort of related to the Jews through Esau. Esau being the brother of Jacob, the Jews descended from Jacob. So he was sort of kind of related to the Jews. His great-grandmother was also a Jew. And so we see King Herod Agrippa I was part Jew, part Edomite, part Idumean. He was an Idumean, but he always wanted to be accepted. History teaches us that he wanted to be accepted by the Jews. He wanted to be on the in with the Jews, but he always felt that he was an outcast. He always felt that he was on the outside. That was until what happened in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, he did something that got the attention of the Jews, and he liked the fact that he got their attention. See, he killed James, he had him beheaded, and he saw that it pleased the Jews. He saw that it gained favor in the sight of the Jews, and so he decided to also take Peter, who was, of course, was a Jewish man, and he was going to put him in prison. Of course, he had intentions of doing other things to him, but he saw that, man, I can get in good with the Jews, and so I'm going to do more of this persecution. Look at verse 1 again of Acts chapter number 12, verse number 1. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. He had intentions of making a mockery of Peter, and his faith in Christ and the Messiah. And we see here that didn't happen. That didn't happen because God intervened. God intervened. And we'll see in Acts chapter number 12, verses 1 through 17, we'll see two different groups of people, maybe three, but at least two, that it teaches us a truth about faith, Look at Acts chapter 12, look at verse number 5. King Herod Agrippa I, he's taken Peter, he's put him in prison. He intends to make a mockery of him. He intends, I would expect that he intends to also kill Peter as well. But look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him. We see the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, boy, or girl availeth much. And that's what the Bible is showing us here. The church, the group of believers got together and said, we need to pray for Peter. We've already lost James. He's taken Peter. I'm sure he intends to do harm to Peter. We need to pray for Peter. We need to pray that God intervenes, and God absolutely intervened. Look at verse number 6. By the way, before I continue, I just want to mention this real quickly. If you got one of these, did everyone get one of these flyers for the all-church Christmas party? Everybody get one of these? If you did not get one of these, make sure you get one of these. It has information about the all-church Christmas party on December the 16th. And then on the back is notes. It's an outline in case you want to play tic-tac-toe or, you know, hangman or whatever the case may be. Or if you want to take notes, obviously. Okay, verse number 6 of Acts chapter 12. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So picture this in your mind, okay? In your mind's eye. Here's Peter. He's sleeping. He's got two soldiers. He's got chains. He's not going anywhere as far as they're concerned. Verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Again, picture in your mind, Peter, he's sleeping between two soldiers. He's got chains on, and an angel appears, and he taps him on the side and says, hey, wake up, buddy. Time to go. He taps him on the side. His chains fall off. Look at verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. All right, Peter, get dressed. Come on, put your shoes on. It's time to get out of here. In verse 9, and he went out and he followed him. The angel came, Peter sleeping. This is, in my opinion, an angelic jailbreak. They broke out of jail. They broke Peter out of jail. They didn't have to pick the lock. They didn't have to break any windows. They didn't have to move any bricks. The angel showed up. The chains fell off and he walked out. Look at it. Look at verse 9 again. And he went out and followed him. Now look at this phrase here in verse 9, the last part of verse 9. And wist not that it was true. He knew not. He wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So Peter just woken up. How many of you, you know, you're groggy when you first wake up? I mean, when I first wake up, you know, it's like a zombie. You know, it's like one of these numbers, you know. I run into things. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll run into stuff and I'll wake Trina up. And, you know, she'll be scared thinking someone's breaking in. No, it's just me. This is apparently how Peter was. He was still groggy, just woken up, and he's in disbelief. He's doubting. He believed not. He wished not. He knew not, but he was still following. Stay with me now. Look at verse 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. Can you imagine this? Can you picture yourself doing this? I mean, you wake up, the chains fall off. Here's an angel. He says, put your clothes on. Let's get out of here. He's still groggy. Gates opening by themselves. They're passing wards of soldiers, and no one is stopping them. I mean, this is wild. This is insane. All right, let's continue. Let's continue reading verse 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. So then the angel just disappears. The angel disappears. He's gone. Verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You see, the Jews, Herod's thinking he's doing them service because Peter believed in the Messiah that they did not believe in, because they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. When Pilate says, what will ye that I should do unto him? They said, crucify him, crucify him. And so when Herod was killing John, or James rather, Herod was getting ready to kill Peter, he thought he was doing a service to gain the favor of the Jews. But we see here God intervening, because prayer was made for Peter without ceasing by his church. Prayer was made for Peter without ceasing by his church. Look at verse number 12 of Acts chapter 12. Stay with me. We're going to get somewhere. It's going to get practical. Verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Now, stop right here. When the angel came, tapped him on the side, told him to put his clothes on, he said that he wist not. He didn't understand. He thought he was dreaming. He thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't totally understand. He didn't totally believe it, but he's following anyway. Didn't totally comprehend what was happening until he gets all the way out, and then the angel disappears, and he says, huh, I see what happened now. God was working. Now we see here Rhoda, he goes to the house. He goes to the place where the people of the church were gathered together praying. He knocks at the gate, and this lady named Rhoda comes to answer. Look at it. Look at verse number 14. Verse 13, rather. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. So again, in your mind's eye, if you will, with me, picture this. Peter's angelic jailbreak, out of jail. He comes. These people have been praying for him. He knocks at the gate, and Rhoda, it appears as if it's implied that she doesn't see him. She only hears him. She recognizes his voice. She says, oh, whoa, I can't believe this. She runs back in to tell everyone else. Yeah. So just imagine, in her mind, she's thinking, I can't believe this. This is Peter. We've been in here praying for Peter, and now Peter is here. We've been praying for God to deliver Peter, and now Peter has been delivered. We've been asking God to break Peter out of jail, and now he's been broken out of jail. I can't believe he's here. You see, she had a small amount of faith. She had enough faith to pray, but she didn't have enough faith to believe that God would actually answer her prayer. Peter, he saw it, he experienced it, he didn't totally understand it. He was following the angel anyway. We see Rhoda here kind of doubting, in disbelief that it actually happened. Wow, it's a miracle. I can't believe that God actually heard our prayer. Not only did he hear our prayer, he answered our prayer. We see them having some faith, but not great faith, not big faith, not tremendous faith. And the funniest part about this whole story is, she hears his voice, she recognizes it, and she leaves him standing out there. This is funny to me. Like, hello, let me in, will you? Bring me and show me to the people. And he's standing there. Look at verse 15. Here's the rest of the group. Peter, not totally believing, but following. Rhoda, she can't believe, she's in disbelief that her prayer has been answered. Look at verse 15. And they, meaning the believers in the home there, in the house, and they said unto her, I didn't read verse 14, did I? Let's read verse 14. Verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Or maybe I did read verse 14. Either way, let's read verse 15 now. And they said unto her, thou art mad. The believers said, Rhoda, you're crazy. I can't believe that Peter's out there. You're insane. Look at the rest of the verse. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. She said, no, I'm telling you, it's Peter. He's out there. Look at what they said. Then said they, it is his angel. It's a spirit. It's not Peter. You're confused, Rhoda. You don't know what you're talking about, Rhoda. Maybe you didn't get enough rest last night, Rhoda. Something's wrong with you, Rhoda. That can't possibly be Peter out there. He's in jail. These are the people that have been praying for God to deliver him from jail.
Yeah.
Y'all with me tonight?
Yeah, amen.
Everybody understanding where we're going with this?
Yeah.
How many times have we prayed and we sought and we knocked and we asked the Lord for something, but we didn't truly believe? We didn't truly think, well, he'll answer this prayer or he'll come through this time and he'll actually do what I'm requesting. Listen, we need to pray believing with faith. And I'm not talking about big, tremendous, humongous faith. I mean, if we have enough faith to ask, then we have enough faith. Let's ask. Let's seek. Let's knock. These are the people that were praying for Peter's release. Rhoda told them, Peter's there. God's answered your prayer. They said, you're crazy. There's no way. They didn't say, well, praise the Lord. God answered our prayers. We knew he would. That's not what they said. They didn't say, well, bless God. We knew that he would come through. We're so glad that he's here. Let's let him in. No, they said, Rhoda, you're insane. You're crazy. You're mad. You don't know what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, not only did they think she was crazy, they were more inclined to believe that there was a spirit out there instead of Peter himself being out there. Let me share a verse of scripture with you. Matthew 21 and verse 22. The Lord Jesus said this, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." You see, it's not about having great faith. It's about having faith. It's about saying, God answers prayer. God hears prayer. He is a God of prayer, and I'm going to pray. Whether or not he answers it the way I want, when I want, I'm going to pray because I believe he's a God that hears and answers prayer. Is anybody with me tonight? Everybody awake? I know it's a little warm in here. Is it warm for you? It's warm for me. Anytime I'm on the platform and the lights are shining, it's hot. But nonetheless, God answers prayer. Look at verse number 16 of Acts chapter 12. Verse number 16. But Peter continued knocking. He was left out at the gate. Rhoda ran in. He's like, hey, come on, let me in. Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, look at these next three words. They were astonished. They didn't believe it. They were shocked. Their jaw hit the floor. They said, wow, it actually is Peter. God actually did hear our prayer. God actually did answer our prayer. I can't believe it. You ever been there where God gave you something or blessed you in a certain way or answered one of your prayers and you thought, wow, I never thought that would happen? I know I've been there. You ever been there? Everybody still with me? Everybody awake? Everybody okay? All right. I've been there where I said, man, I truly can't believe that God actually answered that prayer. That's the folks here. Both groups here, Peter and Rhoda and the believers in this story, they had faith, but they did not have a lot of faith. You see, Peter was following even though he was doubting. Rhoda, she believed it even though she really couldn't believe that he was there. She saw him. She says, wow, it's actually happened. She was surprised that he was there. The believers in the home there were praying. They did not believe that God had answered their prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, ask with much faith. Is that what the Bible says? No. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. It says, seek very diligently. Is that what it says? No. It says, seek, and ye shall find. It says, knock a whole lot. Is that what the Bible says? Everybody awake? The verse is up here, right? Is that what the Bible says? No. It says, ask. It says, seek. It says not. It didn't say that you have to ask a certain way. It didn't say that you had to seek a whole lot. It didn't say that you have to knock with a tremendous amount of force. It just said ask, seek, and knock. God doesn't want us to beg. He doesn't want us to grovel. He doesn't want us to come on our hands and knees and get to the point where, we make our knees bleed and Lord, oh, please, will you please? No, he says just ask, seek, and knock, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If you have enough faith to ask, then you have enough faith. It's not about our big faith or our great faith. It's about having faith in a big God and a great God. You see, because when we put the focus on the faith, then we turn it into a works prayer because it's about us. Y'all with me? But when we put the focus and the emphasis on God, hey, he's omnipotent. He's eternal. He's omniscient. There's nothing he can do. I'm going to him because he's the one that will answer this prayer. It's not about me. It's all about him. So we have some points here that we're going to share from Acts chapter 12. Point number one, small faith will still request of God. Small faith will still request of God. Look at verse 5 once again of Acts chapter number 12. Verse number 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let me ask you this question. Based on the passage that we've read here in Acts chapter number 12, did these believers that were praying for Peter, did they have strong faith? Not really, because when he showed up, they didn't believe it. Did these believers, did they have great faith? You know, when we refer to a person, faithful man of God or a faithful woman of God, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, but we have to be careful. It's not that that individual is great, but it's that they're following and serving and submitting and obeying a God that is great. Amen. That's the focus. The focus is on God, not on the individual. So these believers, they were praying without ceasing, but yet they weren't truly believing. They weren't truly understanding everything that was going on. Now, they were praying, they were asking, they were seeking, they were knocking, although they were still doubting. You ever prayed and had some doubt in your heart? You say, well, if it be your will, Lord, I praise your will. I'm not really sure. You ever feel like that? I have many times. Lord, I hope this happens. I pray this happens, but I don't really believe it's going to happen. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter number 9. In Mark chapter number 9, we're going to turn here and then we'll turn back to Acts. Those are the only few times we'll turn this evening. Mark chapter number 9, we see a man come to the Lord Jesus Christ whose son was possessed by a demon. The boy couldn't speak. The devil would tear him. He would foam at the mouth. He would gnash with his teeth. And the man had taken his son to the Lord's disciples, and they couldn't heal him. They couldn't get that demon out of there. I'll get the words out. And so the man comes to the Lord, and he says to the Lord in Mark chapter 9, Lord, I spake to thy disciples, verse number 21, I spake to thy disciples and that they should cast him out, and they could not. And then the Lord asked him, hey, how long has this been happening to him? How long has your son been like this? And the man said, since he was a child. And then the man said in verse number 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Lord, if there's anything that you can do, Lord, will you please? Lord, if you can, I'm not sure that you can, but if you can, please have compassion on us. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ responded in verse number 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ turned the table on this father, on this man. It's not about whether I can do it. It's about whether you believe I can do it. I absolutely can do it. I have all power. I'm omnipotent. I'm God in the flesh. Now, he didn't say all that, but he implied that it's not about my power or lack thereof, because there is no lack. It's about you having faith. You see, the problem is not in the Lord's power. The problem is in our faith. Look at verse 24. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Now, I've prayed this many times. He said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, Lord, there is, in the crevice of my heart, in the corner of my heart, there's a belief. But man, in the rest of it, there's a whole lot of doubt. There's a whole lot of unbelief. Is anyone else like me? I mean, there are times where I'm saying, Lord, I want to believe. I want to say 100% I'm standing on the promises of God. But there are times where I'm not really, you know, I just got one foot on it, you know, or one toe. And I'm not truly 100% putting all my weight Because there's some doubt there. And this guy, he said the same. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, Lord, I have faith, but not much faith. He said, Lord, I have enough faith to come to you. I have enough faith to pray. I have enough faith to seek you. I have enough faith to come to you, but I don't have full, strong, big, large faith. I just have a little bit of faith. How about you tonight? Is there a situation in your life where you say, Lord, man, I have some faith, but I'm struggling over here. Lord, maybe it's the job situation. Maybe it's something with children, or maybe it's something with your health, or maybe it's something in a relationship where you're saying, Lord, I have faith, but man, deep down inside, I'm not truly believing. I have doubts. I have doubts. You see, it's not about having a great faith in God. It's about having faith in a great God. Let me repeat that. Like one preacher that I listen to, he says this. He says, that's tweetable. Amen. For any of you that are on social media, you use Twitter, whatever that thing's called. Anyway, that's tweetable. He said, this is the statement. It's not about having a great faith in God. It's about having faith in a great God. Now, there's a parallel passage to this Mark chapter 9 passage in Matthew chapter number 17. In verse number 19 of Matthew 17, we won't turn there. The disciples asked, why could not we cast him out? Why could not we cast out this devil? And Matthew 17, 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, anybody ever seen a mustard seed? It's very small. Most seeds are small. Mustard seeds are tiny. I mean, it's a very small. He says, if ye have faith, that's insy, weensy, teensy little bit of faith. Look at it. It says, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say. You act on that teensy, weensy, tiny little bit of faith you have. You act out on that faith that you have unto this mountain, this tremendous, humongous, large entity. I mean, this big thing. All you have to have is a little tiny bit of faith. And you'll say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now notice the truth. Notice the truth, First Baptist Church of Kingstown. Notice the truth, because I think we believe this truth. We quote this verse, but we don't truly believe it correctly. We don't believe it right. See, what we believe, and I think what the charismatics have influenced us to believe a little bit, is we must have a big, great, mountain-sized faith so that we can move a little teensy-weensy little mustard seed. That's how we believe it. If I just have enough faith, then maybe God can do something really small. But, man, if I just have more faith and greater faith, man, I got to increase my faith. And, man, I got to be more faithful. And obviously, we should be more faithful, and we should be increasing our faith. But we're focusing too much on us. It becomes a works-based faith when we say, I got to do, and I got to increase, and I got to do more, and I got to give up this, and I got to give up that. And listen, there's a whole lot of things we need to give up, and there's a whole lot of things that we need to adjust. There's a whole lot of things that we need to start doing. But listen, we don't do that in order for God to work on our behalf. He works on our behalf because we're his children, because he loves us. Y'all with me tonight? And so let's make sure we change our perspective on this verse. It's not about having a tremendous amount of faith in order for something really, really small to happen. No, God says if you just have a little bit, just a small amount of faith, great things can be done through the life of a person that has a small amount of faith. So we see small faith will still request of God. Number two, small faith will still reverence God. Small faith will still reverence God. Turn back to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We'll finish out the message in Acts chapter 12. Small faith will still be following. Will still be, yes, there'll be doubts, and yes, there'll be some unbelief, but small faith will continue to follow, continue to obey. In verse 5, Peter's in prison. In verse 7, the angel came, his chains fell off. Look at verse number 8 of Acts chapter number 12. Verse number 8. And the angel said unto him, in verse 8, everybody there? We awake? Everybody still good? Amen. All right, amen. Verse number 8, Acts chapter 12. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true. He didn't understand. He didn't know. He didn't totally comprehend. He wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Too many Christians want God to give them absolute clarity before they'll move forward and follow the Lord. You know what we want? We want God to write it in the sky. Pedro Morales, it is God's will for you to do fill in the blank. Put your name there. I think that's how some Christians think. Well, God, if you would just give me a sign, show it to me. What do we say? We say, God, if you show me, then I'll believe. And God says the opposite. He says, if you believe, then I'll show you. You see, Christianity is paradoxical. Christianity, you know, in order to be the greatest, you must be servant of all. In order for us to receive, we must give. See, Christianity, it's a paradox. It's oxymoronic. Things are backwards. And God says, if you step out by faith, then I'll show you. But our flesh says, I want to see where the next step is going to land. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And God says, if you just start walking, if you just start following, I'll show you the way. I'll light the way. But if we wait until he lights the way, we're paralyzed. We'll do nothing. We'll never step out by faith. You see, if we can see it all, if we know every step, then that's not faith. That's sight. And that brings absolutely zero glory to God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him, for we must understand who he is, and we must diligently seek him. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 11:6 not only says without faith it's impossible to please him, he says if we diligently seek him. It didn't say that we had to find him. It just said we're seeking, man. We're moving. We're going forward. We're searching for God. We're trying to do his will, man. We're doing. We're making decisions. We're obeying. We're following step by step, moment by moment, day by day. It's a faith walk. It's a faith walk. It's not a sight walk. It's a faith walk. And so a small faith will still request of God. Small faith will still reverence God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? It's about hope. It's about faith. It's about moving forward, believing that he is God, and he wants what's best for you, and he wants what's best for me, and we're going to follow his promptings, and we're going to obey his leadership, and let the chips fall where they may, and let him do what he will with our life. Hey, First Baptist Church of Kingstown, is God leading you in a certain area? Oh, he's not going to give a sign in the sky. He's not going to give you a vision in your dream. He's not going to give you, you know, someone's not going to come up to you and say, God told me to tell you. That's not how it's going to happen. You're going to read the Word of God. You're going to pray. You're going to attend church. You're going to hear preaching. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to speak to you in a still, small voice. Are you going to listen? Are you going to obey? Or are you going to say, no, I need to see the thunder. I need to hear the thunder, see the lightning. I need to see the mountains move. And God says, that's not how I work. That's not how I work. That's a sight walk. That's not a faith walk. What we do is we put more faith in clarity. We put more faith in knowing all the details instead of putting our faith in God Almighty. You see, Peter, he saw several miracles before he totally understood. Miracle number one, he saw an angel. Amen. That's a miracle. Amen. I haven't seen one of those in my lifetime. Amen. They're there. I love that message Pastor preached a week or two ago about angels. It was fantastic. He saw an angel. Miracle number one. His chains fell off. Miracle number two. Look at Acts chapter 12. Look at verse number 10. See a couple of other miracles that he saw. Right. Acts chapter 12, verse number 10. When they were past the first and the second ward, that's another miracle. Another soldier didn't wake up and stop them and apprehend them. They passed the first and the second ward. They came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened, look at this, which opened to them of his own accord. What you mean the gate just opened on its own? That's what the Bible says. That's right. That's what happened. The gate just opened. Amen. Like, I like that. Those gates they have at Walmart. You know, you just come up in the motion and it opened. That's what happened. Let's continue verse number 10. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I understand. Now I see what God is doing. He saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, and he says, I see what's happening here. God is working. God is moving. Yeah. Can you imagine if the angel would have shown up to Peter? He's there. He's bound between the soldiers. And he taps him and he says, hey, get up, buddy. Peter's like, I don't know who you are. I don't know where are you going to take me. I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know what we're doing. Who are you? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if he would say, well, what exactly do you want me to do? And where exactly are we going to end up? Where are you taking me? What's going on here? That's how some Christians act. They say, well, Lord, I'll move if you tell me this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this. If you plan it all out for me and you make sure I know every single little step, then I'll make a choice to follow. That's not how God works. You see, that's walking by sight. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't get to the point where we say, well, if I understand it all and if I comprehend everything, if I know every single step, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Then he shall direct thy paths. Then he says, okay, I see you have faith. I see you believe me. I see that even though you don't understand it all, you'll follow. Now I'm going to show you. I don't know about you folks, but God has been doing that to me my entire life. And most of the time, I didn't even know it. When I was a kid, there were things that God protected me from. You with me? I mean, Pastor Suglio and I were talking earlier today, and I thought, you know, if it weren't for the grace of God, it would be me who's addicted to drugs. It would be me who's in jail. It would be me who's up the creek without a paddle and having all kinds of issues and problems in my life. It would be me if it wasn't for the grace of God. It would be me. And so I followed him, not even knowing it, and then he lit the way. Lastly, and number three and lastly, small faith will still request of God. Small faith will still reverence God. Number three, small faith will still receive from God. Small faith will still receive from God. Let's look at verse 12. We'll read down to verse 17, and then we'll be done. Acts chapter 12, verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished. Verse 17. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had answered their prayer. How the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. The angel says to Peter, he says, Peter, now go over there and tell that church over there. Tell them that God sent me to you. Tell them that God answered their prayer. Tell them that God heard them. Tell them that their prayers are effective. They're effectual. They're doing the right thing. Go tell them. Yeah. Even though they were doubting, even though they had small faith, even though they weren't truly believing 100%, God says, go tell them that what they're doing is good and it's right. You see, I like this definition of faith. This is my absolute favorite definition of faith. Faith is believing it is so, even when it's not so, until it becomes so, because my God said so. I love that definition of faith. And when I come to a crossroads in my life and God is telling me, I need you to go in this direction, and my flesh is saying, but what about this? Or what about that? Or how's this going to happen? And how's that going to happen? And Lord, I can't see it. I have to remind myself, faith is believing it is so, even when it's not so, until it becomes so, because God said so. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Listen, I don't know about you, but I've had to reprogram my thinking It's not about me having big faith. It's not about me. Yeah, I'm going to try to have great faith. I'm going to try to have strong faith. I'm going to try to, and we should. But it's not about our faith. It's about our big, great, strong, omnipotent God, the object of that faith. Just a small little mustard seed of faith, God said. You can do great things. Great things. Move mountains even. How about it tonight? Let's make sure we change how we think. It's not about how great our faith is. It's about how great our God is. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do love you tonight. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this reminder in Acts chapter number 12. And Lord, for some of us, it may have been not just a reminder. For some of us, it may be the first time that we're learning this truth. Lord, I remember the first time I learned this truth. I remember when it was me that was trying to have great faith and big faith and stronger faith. And Lord, I learned that it's not about running, it's about resting. It's not about trying, it's about trusting. Lord, help each and every one of us to rest in your grace, rest in your mercy. Lord, help us to strive to be better, to do more, to have stronger faith, but Lord, ultimately, to rely upon you. You are the object of our faith. Help our focus to stay on you and not on us. Lord, bless your people tonight. We thank you again for all that you've given us this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Suglio.
All right. Thank you for that.